This episode recorded at Rock Buddy Media in Covina, California.
Hey, what's up? Have you been in a car accident and it's not your fault? Or maybe it is your fault. It really doesn't matter. All that matters is you hit up CC LA Motors. CC LA Motors, the best body shop. iCar Gold certified. I said iCar Gold certified. They work with all insurance companies, so don't be afraid of the insurance. They will work with their insurance. Also, free 24 hour towing, so don't be stuck on the road. They got you. They'll pick you up and take you to their body shop. Free 24 hour towing, located in San Gabriel Valley, LA area, Inland Empire in Orange County, 14340 Arrow Highway, Baldwin Park, California. Remember, you get in a car accident, hit up CC LA Motors. Want to get your arm and leg tatted, but don't want to pay your arm and leg to get tatted? Hit it, Pook's Tattoo. Instagram, Pookie Did That. Located in Colton, California. Black and great realism. Get a portrait of your loved one and don't pay an arm and a leg for it. Text him, 562-581-0437. 562-581-0437. Deposit required. With the tattoo industry getting bigger and bigger, tattoo artists getting busier and busier, you have no time to go shopping for your tattoo needs. Hit up Higher Level Tattoo Supply. And if you got a storefront, they got a mobile van that will go to your location. Sales in Phoenix, Arizona, Denver, Colorado, and El Paso, Texas. And if you're not in a location, no worries. They will ship it out to you. Go to HLTattooSupply.com, HLTattooSupply.com, and they will get out to you that week in a couple of days. They have the best, and I mean best, tattoo cartridges, needles, ink, chairs, you name it, they got it. Hit up Higher Level Tattoo Supply Company. Follow them on Instagram, Higher Level_Tattoo Supply. This episode is brought to you by Apish, premium cannabis brand. Follow them on Instagram at apish_OG. Website, www.apish.com. Let's go apeshit. Welcome back, Rocky Nash Podcast, episode 191. A little bit of Mosaic worship music for the morning. Happy Friday, everybody. A Friday bonus show. And this is why I thank the Lord for saving me when I was weak. So I will sing. This is why I thank the Lord for everything. We got some awesome guys. This is one of probably one of my favorite episodes already. I could tell already. We got Doctor Pastor. He's been on a show. What, your third time, Rob?
Fourth.
Fourth time, Pastor Rockefeller. And always, I feel like I have you come on when like I feel like the world's ending. Like during the pandemic, you came on. You did the Mark of the Beast.
Oh, yeah.
So fun. One day I'm going to have you on a happy occasion.
I like the good stuff. I like the hard stuff. I'll take it.
Hey,
anytime I get a chance to spend time with you, brother.
Thank you.
I'm down.
Thank you. And we got the one and only. You guys know this guy. He's a podcast favorite. No offense, Pastor Rob.
No offense.
We got the other Rob, Prophet, the prophetic word,
What do the heavens say? Prophet Rob, who isn't a fisherman, I just found out when I went with him. He's a fisherman watcher, but that's a whole different episode.
I'm a boat rider, brother.
He's a boat rider. I get it. Yeah.
We did 11 hours.
It was 12 hours, dude. Yeah. It was insane. Like, it was good on the, it was like almost like a leg workout because the boat is not sitting there. It's going like 20 miles per hour for 12 hours straight. And you're just holding on for your life, kind of. It's insane. I didn't tell you, Pastor Rob. So, Prophet Rob, a few times, you know, cause there's no bathroom in these boats. And then you got these guys, you got these girls. And I got stage fright. I couldn't go pee. I would pull it out, and the bucket's there. And I'm like, come on, go, dude, go, go. And it's like, I'm not ashamed of my size. It just wouldn't come out. I was stage fright. It couldn't come out. And there was a girl peeing, squatting. I thought, well, she's doing it. Like, you know, I know I'm bigger than she is. So it was just interesting conversation. Real quick, just to break the ice real fast, I talked to Prophet Rob about this. And these are real conversations we have on this podcast. As Prophet Rob, because we're friends, BFFs. We go on boat rides together, make our own beef jerky, stuff like that. I go, Prophet Rob, you're a married guy. You're probably one of the most perfect guy. Like, if I mean, we all sin, but you're probably like, anybody I know, you're the guy that had the less sin. And we all sin, but you're like a sweet angel. You know, and as Prophet Rob, I go, Prophet Rob, BFF, fisherman. I go, when last time you jacked off? He goes, I'm married. Exactly.
That's right.
You too, Rob?
Yeah, I'm married.
Is that a sin to do that when you're married? What are you thinking about your wife?
Well, I always go back to what Jesus said. Jesus said,
oh, you can't think about Jesus when you're doing it. That's weird.
No. If your mind is in the Word of God.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, if you look at a woman with a lustful eye, yeah, you've committed adultery with her in your heart. And so in a covenant marriage, man, it's, you approach marriage totally different. Yeah. And I'll just be real.
Come
I can
married.
Go to my wife and I go, babe, like, I need a little help.
Yeah.
Like, well, cause she'll take care of it.
She's going to kill me for this. But Dow, you know, we're far away right now. So I'm a gentleman, obviously. And ask her, babe, I need a picture of you. Cause you know, she never wants to send me them though, dude. I have to go to her Instagram.
So, well, yeah, because you can blackmail her later. Yeah. Like,
I would
on.
Never.
Oh,
guys, do that. Girls, don't send news to guys. Guys, they'll share in a locker room or wherever. You know, just anyway, that's a whole different conversation. I like to break the ice with, because
that's a good one.
And that's one thing
with.
About with Prophet Rob and all that. We want to let people know, and I would, you know, we want to know, like, just because you go to church and you're still a guy, you're a human. I mean, we try to do better. I mean, you guys do try to do better, but guy talk still, right? Do guy talk.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you guys got a big event. We'll get to your event in a little bit. Like,
hey, I just want to say something really quick.
Of course.
Rocky beat me in golf the last two times we played.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to make sure everybody all over LA County, all over the world, because he's going to post another picture of him beating me. So I just want to put it out there. He beat me. I didn't have my best game. Yeah. He didn't have his best, but
hey,
he
you
had
didn't
a
pray
better
this
one.
Time. Usually you'll pray.
Hey, you know what? I was thinking about this. Mm-hmm. When you're struggling in your golf swing, can't find it, I would lay hands on you and pray. The last time I was struggling, couldn't find my swing, he didn't return the favor.
Whoa. Well, you know what the problem is, Prophet Rob? Like we just talked about, you know, spoiling yourself, I would say. So I practice my strokes. And I feel like you're not practicing your strokes. So that's why I'm better in golf. That makes sense?
Yeah, I guess so. You must have a lot of practice as of late.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. It must have been a long
you
couple months.
You see these forearms, buddy? That's not because of Orange Theory, tell you that.
Yeah.
Guys, it's on a serious note. We're, there's, the news is always bad news. It's so negative. It's toxic. It just... because of social media, like, you don't even know what to believe, what's going on. A lot of stuff we're listening to right now, we're seeing, is this the holy war? We all know Revelation, not a plural, but a singular. Revelation, I had to redo the on the flyer. You gotta put Revelations, you know, like, and... people are saying, you know, the last war in the Bible, it's going to be based and centered in Israel. Is that, let's get into, is that what's going on right now? We'll go to Dr. Rob, since he majored and he talks about this. He studies the Bible very, very well. And you're probably the most knowledgeable person when it comes to the Bible. And Prophet Rob will probably agree with me on this. What is that? And you wrote a book about Revelation as well. So I feel like you know more than anybody that I know about this.
Oh, I appreciate that. Well, let's start with this. There are two ways to think about the end times in Christian history. So there's kind of two camps. One camp is called a futurist, where they believe that the book of Revelation prophesies into the future. And another camp looked at it as what they call partial preterist, or they call, it's more of like an originalist view of the end times. Mm-hmm. And so the difference between those two camps is one applies Revelation to the time that it was written and sees its fulfillment in two ways. Number one, in the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. Number two, the destruction of the Roman Empire, that God judged both. Mm-hmm. With Jerusalem for rejecting her Messiah, and the book of Rome for being the beast. And that is traditionally the way Christians have seen it. And then when Christians think of the end times, they think of a conquering church. They think of a church with spiritual authority and power.
Vatican, kind of?
Yes, and that was man's lame attempt at fulfilling that book. But if we look at the arc of Christian history, we can see that Christianity is the largest religion in the world. Yeah. Christianity is very active, that we're in spiritual authority, that we're converting the nations to Christ. And so that's the kind of the original way the church thought about it. Then in the 1860s, there became a movement out of England called the Irvingites, the Millerites, a bunch of other people we don't have time for. And they began to look at the modern world, or their world in their time, and say, you know what? Maybe this book has dual fulfillment. Maybe this book accurately prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem and the fall of the Roman Empire, but maybe, just maybe, it applies to our time. And most evangelical Christians in America are what we call futurists. Okay. So I'm in the minority, my view, which is more of an originalist worldview called partial preterism. That's the formal name for it. And then dispensationalist, premillennialist, that's the formal name for the most Americans. So for me, I look at what's going on in the world today as just the nation's raging against the leadership and the lordship of Jesus Christ. So that's
so like throughout the years and the centuries and centuries, is the church itself, as far as Christianity church, are we changing the idea in our opinion on Revelation? Like people are changing their opinion, or because it's in context, is right? It's so Revelation in Greek. I mean, as you guys would say, you guys always break it down to Greek or whatever. Revelation means revealing. So
yeah, I mean, apocalypse.
Yes, yeah. Yes, and that means destruction pretty much. So as far as revealing on Revelations, John obviously wrote Revelation. Is he revealing to us in Revelation what's going to happen? Because he's a, is John a prophet as well?
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, John's an accurate prophecy. It says that no prophecy of scripture ever happened without the leading of the Holy Spirit, or the person being carried by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So if we look at the apocalypse, you know, John, we tend to have very negative feelings about it, and as modern Christians that have been, you know, inculcated into futurism.
What is futurism?
Futurism is I take this book, this ancient text, and I plug it into my era.
Got you.
I conform the
book.
And that's
what everybody's doing right now, you would say.
Yeah, I mean, they've all been wrong. People have been conforming
Nostradamus,
the book.
Whoever it is, right?
Yeah, well, he wasn't a Christian prophet. Yeah. But if we look at you know, all the futurists that have said the return of Jesus Christ is near, this has happened, these are signs, and it's going down. They've been wrong every time. Now, I'm not denying that Jesus returns.
Yeah.
I just am saying that this book, I don't want to export it from its ancient context.
I believe like if God ended times and signs start happening, we wouldn't be guessing it. Like, we're going to know when God's coming. It's like, oh, like maybe this is a sign what's going on right now. I'm kind of in fear like God's going to know, boom, like we're going to know when the rapture is going to happen. Like, it's going to be very obvious, I think.
That's if there's a rapture.
I mean, Prabhupada, where are you at with all this? Where I know, I mean, your word is, I mean, people know you on the podcast already by your word. Like, you get the word straight from heaven, kind of. Are you hearing anything like that?
Yeah. Well, my first part is I'm like Pastor Rob in the sense that I have what we call victorious eschatology. I don't see things from the negative. I see things from the victorious side. The Bible tells us clearly in John 19:30, Jesus hangs on the cross and he declares it is finished. When we study that word finished, it means complete, sealed, in the bag. It literally speaks of you and I being victorious as believers. When we look at victorious eschatology, it brings us out of the mindset of chaos, confusion, and death. We look and understand, if you go back to the book of Genesis, that the Bible says the earth was without shape and form. It was void, and it was covered in darkness. And the Bible says, and the Spirit of God hovered over the dark. We know that God then said, let there be light. The moment light was, what happened to darkness? It was eradicated. My belief is that there is going to be a return of the sun. When he returns, he's going to eradicate darkness because he's light. He's glorious. When he comes, it's going to bring peace to the earth. That's why the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation that the kingdom of God shall what? Come, and there shall be a new Jerusalem in the earth. I'm a firm believer that God didn't put me on this earth for me to fly out. He put me in the earth to occupy it until he comes.
Amen.
That's good. And so we're called to be men and people as believers that occupy land and territories. So that's where I stand.
That's good. So where you are right now, is anything, I think that's what people are really worried about, especially my listeners, you know, they're not all like theology and all that. There's kind of like basic, you know, most of them probably don't study the Bible or read the Bible. They just go off what they hear or Disney movies, or it is what it is, you know. Is anything going on right now in the Middle East? As far as your guys' personal opinion, is that something that we should be like, obviously be worried about it, but is that something in Revelation that's going on right now?
In my opinion, this is not scripture being fulfilled.
Okay.
That's my opinion. However, I think that Christianity is always the solution. We have two faiths at war here, and one is completely intolerant of the other one. And Christianity is the most tolerant faith-based Abrahamic religion in the world. Real Christianity is radically egalitarian. Anybody can be a Christian.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus died for the sin of all humanity. And so when we look at these things, Christianity is the solution. We should be concerned because we're on a precipice of another global war, which is concerning to me. But we have the power of prayer. We have the power of the gospel. We have the power of the demonstration of the word of God. We have the gospel of the kingdom that brings peace to the earth. Christians should be peace bringers, in my opinion. And we should pray really hard for our government and the government of Israel to make wise decisions. And we need to pray for a wartime president that is able to lead the world and not react to the world.
I love your shirt. It says Unwoke Nation.
Unwoke Nation.
I love that shirt. Where can people get the Unwoke Nation
shirt?
Oh,
they can get it at Beaching at Seal Beach, California, Main Street. It's my friend.
First thing I noticed on you was your shirt. Prophet Rob, are you in the same boat? Not fishing, but same boat as Pastor Rob. Like, do you feel like this is not what people are thinking it is?
Yeah, I don't think this is the end of the age, end of the world. I think it's a battle that's necessary and needed. There is going to be a fight for freedom.
Yeah.
I think the bigger question is when we begin to look at all the social things that are taking place, my heart can't help but to cry as a father seeing all of these young women that are being abused and hurt. I'm a father of three girls. And so when I've seen some of the videos and some of the things that have been posted online, it has been heartbreaking. And the only thing that this war is making me do is weep and cry. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of one of the smallest scriptures, and it says, and Jesus wept.
Yes.
You know, and that's exactly how my heart is positioned. I weep for a nation. I weep for a people. I weep for those that are hurting. But when I see the abuse that's taking place and the desecration that's coming over the bodies of these fallen, I can't help but to think, God, you know.
And when you say, because right away, you know, being a Christian, as far as from what I know, and correct me if I'm wrong, obviously, being a Christian, right away you take Israel's side, I would imagine, right? But then you're seeing videos and this and that. Like, are you guys positioned to be on Israel's side? Are you feel just sad for both sides? I mean, what's your guys' position? Do you got to take sides?
I don't think we... That's a complicated question, uh-huh. So maybe we should break it down.
That's why you're here, buddy.
Portions. Number one, Israel is an ally of the United States. Yes. It is a true democracy. You know, free elections. It's a free society mostly. If we look at, there's laws against Christianity. There's laws against Christian gospel preaching in Israel. That's illegal to do. Nonetheless, they don't really enforce that. Maybe socially enforce that. But if we look at Israel, it's basically a tolerant society, and they are a natural ally of the United States. And it's a stable democracy in the Middle East. So if we look at geopolitically, we need to support Israel geopolitically because they're a natural ally to the United States.
But not biblical.
I'd say we separate faith from those types of decisions. When people... If I was just, let's just say I was a politician, I would say my Christian faith tells me that death, war, and suffering is bad, period. Death, war, and suffering is bad, period. And atrocities and genocide is horrible because that's never God's vision for the world. But then we look at the reality, and the reality is there are these, the Islamic theology says it's a dominionist theology, mm-hmm. and it's a replacement theology. That says, unless you convert to Islam, you are going to hell. And they convert by two ways. They convert by warfare, convert by faith, convert by forced conversion. And that type of ideology will not tolerate Israel. Their main mission, their stated mission, is the genocide of Israel. They're chanting from the river to the sea.
And when we say, like, the killings and so on, and I talked about it, maybe you could help me out. Well, first of all, would you say the Old Testament and New Testament are totally two different books, almost, or not really?
I think the New Testament interprets the Old Testament.
We go to Kings, and this is God talking to Saul.
Yep.
Now go and strike Amalek and devote to destruction all they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. That is our God talking. And we're saying, yeah, children are dying over there. People are dying. It's devastating and all that. But why is God saying this to Saul? And why did God regret making him king? Because he didn't fulfill all these things that God asked him to do. Because this is our God speaking, the one we're saying that is loving and there should be peace and so on and so on. But yet, if we read the Old Testament, there's a lot of killing going on in there.
Absolutely.
And would you say, I guess a two-part question. Would you say the Palestinians are the old Philistines of the Bible?
No.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't say that at all. And let's look at scripture in context. Somebody like me would say God works through covenant. And God's covenant was with Israel at that time. And God was punishing people that had been horrible idolaters. And so when we look at the context of the ancient world, we have to understand it was a different ethic. It was a different covenant. It was God moving through humanity, separating the Hebrews so that they would bring Messiah to the world. It was mm-hmm. God protecting a womb called Israel that would bring forth Messiah. And God, had very clearly stated that this was judgment for sin. And we have to look that, you know, it's God's world. He's the sovereign. He can do what he likes. He could do as he pleases, and he does. He's in charge.
Is it still God's world, though?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or did he kind of give it to Satan right now, and he's just doing whatever he wants with it?
Well, I think that, in my opinion, Satan was restrained when Jesus was resurrected. Mm. I think it was Satan's world in before the new covenant.
Yeah.
And like really the Bible's an unfolding story of how God saves the world from the birth of what, you know, of evil in the Garden of Eden, what the Hebrew word is ra, it just means of a bad nature, everything bad that came from that act of sin, that sin just produces death, period. in everything. And then, you know, then you see Messiah come, Jesus Christ, and Messiah fulfills the old covenant, fulfills all of the covenants. Yeah. And now Messiah has been sacrificed for sin and he's been resurrected from the dead. And now Satan's restrained because he never met a man he couldn't make sin.
So you guys just say this isn't a biblical war. It's not a religion war. It's just more of a for land and money and power.
Well, I'd say it is a religious
war. It is a religious war.
Absolutely. Not just a Christian, like it's not a Christian religious war.
Okay.
This is a war between Judaism and intolerant Islam.
Okay, tell us the difference, because why are these religions fighting each other then? What's the difference in their religions?
Well, they both claim to be preeminent.
Those are really big words.
They both claim to be the absolute total
truth.
Okay.
Christianity does, but this is the thing that Islamic scholars need to wrestle with.
And that is Muslims, right?
Yeah. Islamic scholars need to wrestle with this. Islam needs a reformation, because how do you see jihad? Because I remember your podcast, you talked about jihad. You talked about all the statements in the Quran that were jihadist statements that were all in the context of the triumph of Islam as a faith. Now, Christianity treats victorious living differently than, let's just say, Islam. In our theology, victorious living is conquering the flesh. It's conquering sin in the flesh. Ooh. It's promoting the Holy Spirit's leadership in our heart. And it's an entirely spiritual war that's contextualized to my person first, and then my good behavior spreads goodness to the rest of society. And my spiritual war is the conquering of evil in me first, and then because of my good behavior, I bring goodness to the society.
I like that.
Now, if you look at Islam, Islam says, no, my spiritual war is lived entirely in the natural plane. And the proof of Islam's power and victory is in its conquering of people groups.
It's more of an earthly conquering than more of a spiritual
conquering. That is correct. Muhammad was a great conqueror. If you look at the spread of Islam, it was a faith that was spread through conqueror.
Is Muhammad something we would believe in as being Christianity, or no?
No.
Jesus was the last.
No, Jesus is the prophet that Moses prophesied. And we look at Muhammad, you know, we have to understand that Islam came 600 years after Christianity.
So are they fighting? Are they fighting because they disagree with religion? Like,
absolutely.
They can't coexist.
So you they cannot coexist.
You believe in this, we believe in that, and you guys have a nice day.
Yeah, I mean, look at Orthodox Judaism. Says Talmudic Judaism says we are God's chosen people.
Yeah,
and the Gentiles are not covenant people. Only we are.
Yeah,
and then you have Islam on the other side that says no, we're God's people, and we conquer not through proselytization. We conquer through warfare.
Are they radicals, everybody over there? Like, I mean, you guys are amazing Christian men. And do you have any Muslim friends? Do you guys?
I mean, I don't have any close Muslim friends.
But you wouldn't sock one in the face if you seen one, though, either, though.
No, that's not a Christian ethic. Christian ethic is not
Oppressive.
Does
Israel know that? Like, it's not a Christian ethic? Like, why are they doing this? Like, I don't.
Well, I mean, Israel has to defend herself.
That's one thing. So my thing I said, and I get like kind of ridiculed for it. I go, well, you sock the giant, and they're gonna hit you back harder.
Absolutely.
And now, I hate saying this, but now you're playing the victim. Like, oh my God! Like, I mean, you guys started this, and Israel is somebody you don't want. As far as military wise, there are somebody you don't want to mess with.
Absolutely.
You really don't. And now. You know you woke up the giant. You want to play with fire. You're gonna get burned.
Well, I mean, if we look at the Abraham Accords, right? We have Egypt recognizing Israel's right to exist. We have Saudi Arabia looking at Israel's right to exist. You have Muslim neighbors looking at Israel and say, okay, I can tolerate them. They have the right to exist in their current borders.
Gotcha.
Right, and then you have a group that says, no, we need to wipe them out. And we have to understand
almost that, like a new time of Holocaust, pretty much.
Exactly. And we have to understand there's a schism within Islam. They're not just one Islam. There's Shiite and there's Sunni.
And
it seems like the Sunni world in some ways have accepted that Israel has a right to exist, and the Sunni world in you know, it'd be like Qatar, Saudi Arabia, you know, so it'd be that kind of wealthy Muslim nations that are that have contact with the world, that trade with the world, that have to have geopolitical standing in the world. And then you have the Shiite led by Iran mostly. And those people, you know, they're completely two different, you know, yeah. Islam is not monolithic. Like Christianity is not monolithic. There are four different strains of Islam, but they break down between Shiite and Sunni. Yeah. If just to simplify the conversation. So you have a Shiites that are intolerant of Israel.
When you're sure unwoke nation, and we have the woke, a lot of stuff that's being in the media, social media, or just the news alone, they're pushing this woke thing. They're pushing. But we all know that Jews run the media, and we go to Jews, Israel, Jerusalem, so on and so on. Is that the same people that we're defending that are also pushing the woke at us?
Well, I mean, Jews are not monolithic people either, right?
You have a lot of big words today.
Like, okay, they're not just, they don't all believe the same.
Okay.
Right? You have secular Jews, they're Jewish by race, and they're not practicing.
Like a Jerry Seinfeld.
I don't know about Jerry, but maybe,
he
right?
He seems like a good guy.
Yeah, he seems like a good guy. But then there's secular Jews, right? Uh-huh. That they don't have an expression of faith in their life. Right. And then you have Jews that are Reform, and then you have Jews that are Hasidic, and you have Jews that are Chabad, and you have Jews that are Orthodox.
Kind of like Christianity.
It's like Christianity. Different
strains. Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
And, you know, we never want to say, oh, Jews own the media. They don't own the media. You're Latino.
Yeah.
You're in the media.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people in the media that are not
Jewish. But as far as the mainstream media, I mean, there's no denying that they control most of the major media. It is what it is, Hollywood.
That's correct.
Like, and this, you're saying my media and Hollywood media, it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, here's a...
Like, my podcast, I mean, as much of views as I get, it wouldn't be like, they wouldn't hire me for the radio, I would say, more or less, because the things I say is unpolitically correct, because they control what you say. They even control what you put on media. You have to edit your comments now. You have to be a liberal almost for these social media.
That is so anti-American.
Mm-hmm.
We have a First Amendment.
I know.
That guarantees the freedom of speech, of freedom of the press.
Yeah.
But if we look at who's pushing woke, the progressive, the humanists are pushing woke.
Yeah.
People that don't push woke are probably more tolerant than the left, yeah, in my opinion.
Yeah. Where y'all with this Prophet Rob as far as everything's going on?
Come on,
baby.
Bring the heat.
Well, one of the things that, you know, I think when we're talking about it, just I was thinking of Catholicism. One of the things that we see taking place in America, there's many people that say, I'm Catholic because I was born in it.
I hear that all the time.
You know,
especially Mexicans say that.
But they don't practice it. And yeah, as Dr. Rob was so eloquently speaking on that, there's so many people that confess Christianity, but they don't even know who God is. They don't know who Christ is. They don't know what the Holy Spirit is. They've never had an encounter, never had an experience. They haven't opened their Bible. Mm. It's just something that they've grabbed hold of because of culture of their family.
That's good.
And they have taken that culture and said, this is who I am, without ever discovering identity. You know, if I look at the fallen world, you know, the Bible says that sin has a pleasure for a time, but its end leads to death. The truth is, what we see is a world trying to live and pleasure itself, but it's slowly dying. And that's because we live in what is called a fallen nature. You know, man has the right to do good, but when he doesn't know Christ, what does he do? He does the opposite. That's why the Apostle Paul says something that's so powerful. He says, you know, my flesh is willing, but my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. When somebody doesn't have the Spirit of Christ in them, they just give in to all their temptations, yeah, and they fulfill their worldly desires. And those desires have nothing to do with God. Yeah. You know, one of the things that gets asked to me often is, if God is so loving, then why are we living in such a tragic world?
Wow.
And the truth is, it's because we live in a fallen world. Mm-hmm. The Bible teaches us that God was a light over the world. He sent his son Jesus to be a light in the world, or to the world, and he left you and me Dr. Rob and all the believers to be lights in the world. And if we don't like the way the world is going, then why don't we illuminate
That's
as
our
believers?
Fault. Yeah.
We as believers, we got to illuminate. We got to say something. I think the church has become the silence of the lambs. We've become afraid of what the Facts. Political system has been saying. We've become afraid to hold our ground. Yeah. We've simply yeah. become a people that we want to lean left or right. But the Bible doesn't teach us to lean left. Doesn't teach correct. Us to lean right. It teaches us to take a stand. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to fight devils when we need to fight political systems and agendas of the earth by opening our mouth and proclaiming the liberty of Christ, reminding people who they rightfully are. Well, the moment we discover the truth of who we are, we no longer want to fulfill the lust of our flesh. You know, you talk to me about, you know, hey, you know, do you want to jack off? The truth is I don't. And the reason yeah. why is very simple. It's because to do something like that, I would have to entertain my mind with another picture. And if I would have to use something else to come into my mind to do such an act.
Yeah.
And the truth is, I don't have time for that. You know, I had to pour out. An old man in my life passed away. Behold, all things been made new. I'm a new creation. If I am truly new, I can't live for the old. I can't yeah. live for the flesh. My pleasure is found when I do what the Father has asked of me. And that's what we need to come into the earth. We need people that will begin to living out the pleasure that God has placed within them to share with the earth.
Man, I love the way you said that. I wish pastors would talk more about the joy and the goodness that comes from obedience.
That's good.
I'm telling you, it feels good to be clean.
And you go back, and I know we had this conversation, Prophet Rob, on your YouTube channel. And we were talking about, I don't want to say his name, but I went golfing with one of my buddies. And he got baptized maybe about 3 months ago, I would say. And he, you know, posted it. And his lifestyle never changed. So I feel like he was, I got baptized. And I feel like, well, you just got wet. Like, you didn't get baptized, bro. He's like, yeah.
Like I went fishing.
Exactly.
And I didn't catch a fish, though I just reeled one in.
Yeah. Oh, God. So my thing with his is I want you to say again, and maybe Pastor Rock help you out a little bit. I want people to understand when you do want to get baptized, it's something you should take seriously, and you should be a better man. Or talk about the demon that leaves you and wanders in the desert and comes back to you with seven friends.
Well, before we jump into that, when we get baptized, what is baptism? Baptism is an outward confession of an inward transformation of a man's heart. When a man is water baptized, he gets put under. It's symbolic of an old nature being put to death. When he rises up, behold, all things are made new. He is a new creation. Yeah. What God is looking for is people to come to the comprehension that when you were born again and you were baptized, you became a new man. Your second birth becomes greater than your first. Oh. Your spiritual birth is the birth that God is looking at. The old man, he's put away. He don't even exist.
So, he's dead.
Yeah, exactly.
He's dead.
But why is it that people, as believers, always blame things on an old man? It's because they believe in necromancing. They believe in resurrecting a dead thing. If it's gone, it's gone. And so the truth is, most people that are living and struggling in certain areas of their life, it's not because of an old man. It's because of an immature new man. They haven't allowed the Christ to come into their life in those specific areas to change it.
I like that.
They're still holding on to it. Not too long ago, just a little sidebar, I was on a 2-mile walk. I was 2 miles into a 4-mile walk. And as I was coming home, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, and he said these words to me. He said, Rob, I love a man that willfully places himself on the potter's wheel, the place where I can mold him and shape him, where I can remove dross. It hit me so hard, I stopped and I found a bench. And I said, Lord, as I stand on this, I'm willfully placing my life in your hands. And as I stepped onto that platform, that little bench, I said, have your way in my life. I had no idea that day hell was going to break out in my house. I didn't understand that hardship was coming. I knew by the Spirit that God was going to make everything okay. When we come and willfully submit ourselves, he will then begin to take away things. Later that week, I said something. I said, And it was, this is what I said. It wasn't nothing bad. It was just, I said, you know, God is a God of love. And I said, we need to love everybody. Thank God I don't have to like everybody. You know? And he simply, he spoke to me.
Yeah.
And he said, tell me one person I don't like. And I'm thinking of evil people. And I start mentioning men that we know to be heinous with evil. And he just said, I love them. He said, I like them. I created them.
Wow.
He said, I don't like what they stand for. I don't like what they're doing. And he said, let me show you something. And he literally stuck his hand into my chest and he pulled out my heart. I'm seeing this in a vision.
Wow.
And this is what happened. He took my heart out and he laid it before me as a map. I didn't realize my heart is like nations. My heart is like a continent. And when he laid it out, I began to look over the land like a surveyor. And as I looked over it, I said, Lord, what is this gray, dark area? And he goes, oh, that's simple. He said, those are the areas, Rob, that you have yet to fully surrender to me. It hit me so hard, Rock. I literally broke down and cried right there because I believe that I live a pretty surrendered life to the things of God. Mm. I've dedicated myself to the ways of God. I read my Bible. I pray. I do all the practical things. But when he revealed to me that there are still areas in my heart that were dark, that were shadowed, that were covered, that I hadn't let him have full access to, all it could do is make me cry.
Jeez.
All I could do is break my heart. And that began to press me to understand that my life is a progressive journey with Christ. I have to understand that I'm dead, but there's areas in my life that I need to understand are also dying so I could become even a better man, a greater husband, a greater father, a greater friend, a greater minister, a greater person. And so when I begin to think about all the things you're saying, all these thoughts are racing through my head because there's so many people that they're trying to be good.
Yeah.
But without Christ, it's hard. You know, you can even have Christ. But if we need the Holy Spirit to help us take these inward looks, these inward journeys, so we could discover how much more we could bring change in the earth by becoming a light, by letting him have his way.
Love that. Amen.
And it's good how you said the light. Obviously, my cousin Stephanie, you prayed for her in the back of the studio. I hear her go, boom. I guess she fell. Prophet Rob makes people fall. And
I don't. Holy Spirit
yes,
does.
Yes, she fell. And since then, and you know, she's an ex, you know, used to go to Kingdom Hall, Jehovah's Witness, and she became the light in her house that lit up the whole house. Now her mom, my aunt, I mean, that she haven't drank, and I mean, my tia hasn't drank in 6 months, however long it's been. Now her son is gonna go to your guys' church this week in Rancho Cucamonga. We'll talk about that in a little bit when I take a commercial break, but her being the light is just lighting up it's just other people's candles and candles and candles, you know, and that's how we people are scared. I feel like I know I talk about this a lot on the podcast, but would you say there's more motivational speakers than pastors these days?
I think there's a famine in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we even experience it at my church. You know, I'm not a very popular preacher at my church. And that's because
at your own church?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I don't even hardly speak anymore. You know, I speak.
Because you use all these big words, probably.
I know, man.
You're confusing everybody.
I just realized that Christians are mostly illiterate about the Bible.
Mm.
And we need men of God, women of God, to stand up and preach the. I'm a big proponent. I believe in the fivefold. So when I say the fivefold, I believe there's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Yeah. And I think that there needs to be a focus on teaching and pastoring in the local church. We need to teach the Word of God verse by verse. We bring a prophet in. We bring a prophet in because they're casting vision. They're calling out destiny. They're pointing the way. They're prophesying things to come, forthtelling. We need that. We need apostles to lead movements to show us which way we should go as a church, a collective church. But if we look at church at the local level, I think there's a huge famine in the Word of God. And I think it's a shame. And I think that as a reformer, you know, I think my role is to really promote biblical literacy.
Yeah.
You know, read your Bibles, understand your Bibles, preach verse by verse, all that kind of good stuff. I think that makes great Christians is knowing the Word of God. It makes you smart.
Yeah. I want to take a small commercial break real fast. And when we come back, I want to talk about what you guys are doing in town right now. It's a whole weekend thing, and a lot of neat things are going to happen. So we'll be right
back. Let me give you some dating advice. Are you looking for a special place, for a special person, for a special date? Well, I'll take them to Garden Bar and Grill, located in La Habra and Pico Rivera. Good food, good service. Be there.
Starting new business? Don't know where to start from? Hit up Snap Express. Snap Express has all your promotion needs, from stickers to t-shirts, hats, keychains. You want it, they got it. Remember, at Snap Express, your business is their business. Yeah, my playlist is pretty amazing.
You got a dope playlist.
So dope. I trip out one on. So, Pastor Rob, senior pastor, right?
Yeah.
Senior pastor at Refuge Church in Rancho Cucamonga. Prophet Rob goes there once in a while. Last time he was there. Some of my friends went, but some just podcast listeners end up going there. And always say that Refuge, because when you go to, I'm used to mega church, you go to Hillsong, and then I went to Harvest, and I stopped going to Harvest because they don't believe in talking in tongues. I mean, I'm nitpicking churches. I'm a weirdo like that, you know. Are you guys looking at each other like me?
It's funny.
Oh, that I'm nitpicking churches. That's what I do. I'm a nitpicker.
That's okay. You can nitpick churches.
I'm trying to find home because Hillsong is not my church. Anyways, but I like Hillsong. I got baptized there. Did a lot for me, you know. Anyways. People went to a Refuge church, and I always say I call it a hardcore church. There's flags waving everywhere. Some guys playing a trumpet horn in the background. Some girls painting a picture with paint in the stage. There's a basketball court. I mean, there are a lot of things going at Refuge Church. and these baby Christians that go there, they're used to just like, maybe some use the Catholic Church, and they're used to people talking like this. You know, I don't know why priests talk like that. It's so weird to me. But they go to this church, Refuge Church, and Prophet Rob is there. People are falling on the floor, crying. And one of my friends, he left. He go, he took his little son. So like his son got scared. Like he's all, because they didn't know what was going on. It was a lot of things are going on at your church. And would you say, like, your church is very, because you guys are praying out demons. You got to do an exorcist. Or you guys are just, it's a lot going on there, right?
Man, we got 28 exorcists at our church. We call them deliverance ministers, by the way, because exorcism is ritual. Deliverance is through the power, the faith and authority of Jesus Christ. But, yeah, we have no problem doing the Bible. We want to do the Bible.
You guys don't water it down for nobody.
Nobody.
No itchy ears, nothing like that. That's why I do respect your church. Man. Yes, it is. It is what it is. You're not running for governor or office.
Here's the thing. Oh. No, I'm not. But here's the thing. You never want to be a man pleaser. And you never want to conform the Christian faith to a culture. The Christian faith changes a culture. And for us, I mean, we do some things that are not expressly in the New Testament. But when we talk about spiritual power, speaking in tongues, prophesying, healing, divine healing, interpretation of tongues, baptism of the Holy Spirit, when we talk about a new covenant expression, the gospel of the kingdom, it is one of that openly displays the person of Jesus Christ. If I tell you about Jesus, I've appealed to you on your sense of intellect. Yeah. If I show you power, you have to decide if that was true or not.
Mm, yeah.
And so I would rather say, let's do conversion through displays of power.
And I like how you said that, like, the Bible should change the world, not the world change the Bible.
Well, yeah.
And that's what's going on right now. People are changing the scriptures and doing radical things at churches now. It's just, it's crazy what's going on. But Prophet Rob is going to be at Pastor Rob's church, Refuge Church, this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Tell us what's going on over there. I mean, people know you from the podcast. They know, like, I tell everybody, like, when I first seen Prophet Rob at Refuge Church in Rancho, I didn't know the dude. I'm just saying, like, me and Prophet Rob always laugh about this. I go, dude, like,
who is this guy?
Is this guy paying these actors to fall on the floor? Like, this guy is doing too much. Like, this guy,
love it.
This girl's like, he go, how you do, Prophet Rob? Go, yeah, he does his noise with, and his dude. People fall, and I'm going, okay. And he starts telling you over there in the red shirt, like. And he's telling, like, he prophesies over them, like, about a job or their marriage or whatever. It could be a sickness, whatever God's telling him to say. And I'm going, okay, like, I don't know. I just don't know about this guy. And then, until hit people that I know, my family members, my good friends, biker people that cry like a baby in front of 30 people in the living room. Like, a lot of, I just seen my cousin fall on the floor, Sammy Joe Fox. She was paralyzed at Refuge Church on the floor. He prayed for her. And Sammy Joe is a lesbian girl, so my God still talks to her, you know? Like, so he prayed over her, and she falls on the floor. And I'm okay. Sammy Joe, like, I know you're not going to fake this, you know? And she's there for like 15 minutes at Refuge floor. I hope you guys vacuumed it or something, because she was on there for a long time.
We clean good.
Okay, so she's on the floor and she's there, and you're kind of just walking over doing your message still. I go, Prophet Rob, like, she's on the floor, somebody pick her up, you know, and say you guys put a blanket on her, like, make her comfortable.
You right? never want to stop what God's doing.
Exactly. So she's,
you don't
want
to interfere.
And I watch, but at this point, I know Prophet Rob, I know it's a real deal. I know it's the bomb. Like, Sammy Joe's down for like 15 minutes. I go, okay, you can get up now. Like, what are you doing? Like, you comfortable? And she keeps touching her face. She's not moving, and she looks like zoned out, and she keeps touching, she has her hands on her face, she keeps touching her face, keeps touching her face. And after the whole thing, she finally gets up, like 15 minutes, and I ask her, Sammy Joe, like, why are you on the floor so long? I know, like, it's real, like, you will fall, you know, depending on the Holy Spirit. Like, she goes, I couldn't get up, I was like paralyzed with the Holy Spirit. I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, like, did you see me keep touching my face? I go, yeah. She goes, because I thought I was paralyzed, I felt like I couldn't feel anything, so I kept touching my face to make sure I could still have somewhat feeling over it. And I see Prophet Rob do so many miracles. He talks to people online through the chat. He calls some of my friends personally on the phone, say, hey, like, I know you're looking for a job, you're gonna have a job by Monday, God's telling me. Boom, guy calls me crying, a cholo guy, I got a job. Like, just amazing things. Is that something they could look forward to, like, when you're there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, guys?
Absolutely. This Friday, tonight, we are launching 7 p.m. What we call Prophetic Encounters. This is our LIVG, which stands for Life is Very Good. That's the name of our ministry. This is a conference that they are hosting for us, and they're allowing us to bring in our own worship team and create an environment so people can have an encounter and an experience with God. My greatest desire is that people would be touched, changed, and transformed, not just by the message, but by the power and the presence of God and the demonstration of love.
Yeah.
You know, when we can help people begin to understand, you know what, life and adversity, trouble and struggle, it's real, but even in it, you can still have victory. It changes a man's life.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what Friday is all about, changing lives, bringing the lost to salvation, bringing the hurting to a healer, bringing those that need deliverance to a deliverer.
And that's tonight.
That's tonight.
Wow.
Then tomorrow morning, I know you're going to be on a plane. Go have fun.
Thank you. God is good.
Yes, sir. You're going to go watch your Rams.
God is very good.
There you go. So, but Saturday morning, for those of you, just putting it out there, Saturday at 11 to about 1 p.m., those who come with an expectant heart.
Wow.
Because what we're going to do is we're going to have what we call a call-out room. And all that is terminology for people to come and spend about 15, 20 minutes in worship. We're going to create an atmosphere, and then we're going to let the Holy Spirit speak into the heart of people to bring words of encouragement, edification, exhortation to bring comfort into their life. When God speaks a word of encouragement, most people think, oh, it just means to build up. The word encourage from the Hebrew, when you study it, means to raise the roof, to change and transform the way a man thinks.
I love that.
Most people see themselves through negative light or through a broken mirror. But when God's word comes to encourage them, he helps them see the real them.
And we all need that, man. Like, yeah. We need that. That's me. I know a lot of you. I have a big SoCal following, listeners. If you're in the area, guys, and I know every, I don't care how good your life is, it could be better. Imagine your life good right now. Imagine with God in your life, how even better it could be. It will be better. Like,
yep.
Everybody needs a word, no matter what. And then I know some people are sick and some, well, if you have COVID, stay home. But I would say some people just need help. The world is so toxic and anxiety is at its highest. Like, people are just depressed is at its highest. Like, I feel like you guys need to stop by the church and get the word, man. The worship is amazing. The worship alone doesn't make you break down. And as long as you allow, and I was stuck on that where I'll be the person standing up and my hands will be on the chair in front of me. Just da, da, da. And finally I surrendered, put my hands in the air, and you let the Holy Spirit come. And when you do that, the Holy Spirit, the worship will hit you way harder than you ever hit. It's not the air conditioning, guys. It's hitting you. It's hitting you really hard. So if that's you, and I know it's you guys, like if you're in a Rancho Cucamonga area or even an hour out, San Diego, 2 hours out, it's going to be worth the drive. If you go Friday, Saturday, or even Sunday, any of those days, guys, it's just life changing, right?
Absolutely. That's the greatest desire of my heart in ministry, is to see lives touched, hearts changed, people that need encouragement to find encouragement. One of my taglines is, thank you for joining us. We're going to use this time to strengthen some, encourage others with God's prophetic word.
Yeah.
So you don't want to miss it. Friday, 7 p.m., Saturday morning, 11 to 1, and then Saturday evening from 6 till we're done. We're going to just minister to as many people as
possible.
Will
you guys do like walk or register, or do you need to register online?
Walk in, right?
Just walk in, right? You guys just walk in. You don't have to register.
Walk in.
Just go. It's a beautiful church. It's nice. It's right there on Rancho Cucamonga, guys. I just want you guys to go.
Yeah, and if you want to register, there's still time. You can register. It's free registration. There's no charge for the conference. The registration, if you want to put your name down, is propheticencounters.com. Just put your name, your email, and you'll have a confirmation. If you're the first 100 people in line, we are giving away gift bags to the first 100 people that come through.
Nice.
So we're trying to just bless people and encourage them, man. Tonight it's going to be on. I can't wait.
And guys, come with the giving heart too. Like, these guys, this is their life. This is what they do. Come with the giving heart. Give an extra $20 or whatever it is. Prophet Rob, I know he travels a lot and does this, and I know Refuge could use the money for schooling, et cetera, et cetera. So come with the giving heart too. You guys are traveling far away, giving a lot of their time, and they study and they read the Bible, they pray, because I know you don't, so they're doing it for you. So you might help out a little bit, guys.
Yeah, and we're also, it's going to be online. So if you can't make it, go online. Go to Prophet Rob Sanchez on YouTube and look me up. That's my channel, Prophet Rob Sanchez. Subscribe tonight, 7 p.m. We brought 15 people deep from all over. We have people from Southern California, Northern California. We have a friend here all the way from Tampa Bay, Florida. People are coming from everywhere, man.
Prophet Rob, could you, first of all, thank you, gentlemen, for coming on.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I mean,
yes, sir.
I like you guys coming for my selfish reasons, because I learn a lot. Because, me, I have all these questions, Maybe I'll be easy on the one thing that I've been doing lately. Back up on that a little bit. But Prophet Rob, can you take us out on a prayer, please?
Oh, yes, come sir. On. Thank you.
Well, Father, we just thank you for every listener. We pray that they were enlightened and encouraged. And Father, I pray for everyone that is in need, that today the Spirit of God would descend upon them and bring comfort. If they're hurting in their body, be Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. If their mind is overwhelmed with anxiety, be their Jehovah Shalom, the peace of God. Father, for those that are at that place where they feel like calling it quits, be their encourager and their comforter. I ask you, God, to bless every man and woman that hears this podcast. May their families be touched as well as their own personal life. May it be changed by a simple prayer. May the Lord your God look upon your face, and may his countenance shine brightly in your heart. Let that love set you free. May you be blessed, my friend. God bless you.
Amen.
And I don't know where to go. You calm my anxious mind. Over and